What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the KO Breakdown here on the Playmaker Podcast Network. I'm your host, the fight analyst, Garrett Kerman. With me, as always, is my man, Joe Danger himself, Jesse Hobson. What's up, man? How's it going?
Breaking down fights. You know, it's what we do. You know, I make money. You tune in. And you need to start, send stuff to me. I need to capitalize. Let me bet for you. I have a new Discord and you can join it and I will bet for you.
Okay. All right. Actually, before we get into breaking down the invites, we have a very special guest with us. He goes by the name of the Brick, Jimmy Flick. What's up, man? Welcome back.
What's up, man? Been a long time.
Yeah, bro. How's it going out? How are you, man? We missed you over here.
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Doing good, man. Right now, I can say I'm a full-time UFC fighter. So
yes. Kudos, man. We've been following your journey, especially me and Jesse, for the longest time. We were very sad to see you retire, but we were so fucking happy when we heard you were coming back. You know, I want to know, what's your emotions going into your unretirement fight?
Man, there's nothing there, man. I'm just, it's only been 2 years. I've had longer layoffs when I was actually active fighting, you know, when I had surgery fucking like 5 years ago. I had surgery on my knee. I was out for 2 years. So I've been out for 2 years. I'm just, the emotions to come back is great, you know, but already dealing with the opponent change, but I knew the UFC was going to take care of me, so, and have somebody. So I wasn't worried about not fighting on the 14th. I was just like, I'm probably not going to get a ranked opponent, but it's all good, man. I'm just ready to come back, fight, and show the world why I should have been there the whole time.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear it.
Absolutely. I just want to touch base on that fallout. So can you tell us, like, what happened? Like, what happened leading up to that whole debacle? Obviously, we know the whole James Krause situation, right? Because everybody knows what's going on there. But, you know, did you have any inclination that this might have was going to happen because of the whole James Krause thing? Or it kind of just sprung up out of the blue?
I'll kind of send everybody an email. And then that's how everybody seen the email that viral that, you know, what was going on. And within like an hour or 2 hours after that email, I just got a message. Jeff was out. So
wow,
that's all I got. And then I got offers and I was like, oh, so we're doing this. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it definitely is. I know there's probably a lot of emotions going into this new fight because of, you know, the opponent change and all that good stuff. But like, you know, do you like this matchup better? I feel like it's a more fun matchup because you know what Charles brings to the table. He's going to come forward. He's going to fight. And that's all you do is come forward and fight. So I feel like for the fans, this is like the people's main event for this fight card. I mean, let's be honest. This is going to be a fun fucking fight.
Dude, I can't wait, man. It honestly didn't matter who it was, but I think Charles is the best matchup. Opportunity. Guys that haven't even fought in the UFC, and Charles is 1-1, former LFA flyweight champ, and like you said, yeah, forward. I think he's got great fight IQ. He's a good opponent, and he's never been finished. And I love finishing people. Like when I fought, what was it, Greg Fisher? He's never been finished. You know, Nate Smith. Not only did he not have a loss, but he never been finished. And then, like, he might never win again, too, ever since I beat him. So I got matched up, and I think he's going to push the fight. I'm going to push the fight, so hopefully we'll have a lot of fans push for it. And I'm excited to get out there, fight again, get in, and call for some of the other flyweights.
So I have one question. So since the last time you were on the show, we had another interesting guest, if you will, and it's a man that you're familiar with. His name is Cody Durden, and he had some interesting things to say about you. And I guess, curious as to if you would even be interested in a like a rematch of if you will, because quote unquote, he said he would beat your fucking ass, and though not my words, his word. I'm a gentleman, so I was curious if you had a reaction for that.
It's kind of funny because well, let's break it down. So Cody hit me with everything he got. How many times did he drop me? Yeah, none. How many times was I rocked or like Jimmy's out on his feet? None. Did he have me in one of the worst positions in MMA? Did he have my back? Did he have hooks in? Was he hitting me? Yeah, he was. I still got up from the worst position early in the fight too. And we know that's the best Cody. He can't tell me he's good in round two and three. Come on, we watched the last couple fights. So at his best, he had me at everything. I got back to my feet, and I kicked him in the mouth. And he's lucky that that's all that happened. And then I hit a flying triangle, all right? Yeah. So he did get kicked in the face. His hands were down when I kicked him in the face. I just turned into a flying triangle. And then I would love to hear his take on this. Everybody's like, hey, man, when he lifted you up, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? I was like, he told me that his knee popped. He asked if I heard his knee pop. I said, nah, I just felt you tap, homie. So let's think about this. So if he's asking me, did I hear his knee pop? That means that's when he tore his ACL, because I hooked his knee from a flying triangle while he couldn't slam me. So if he did blow his knee and he had surgery, that's why. Not because it was before the fight. He wants to make up all these excuses. If he would have took it like a man, it might have. But let's be honest, man. I'm coming back after a two-year layoff. Why the hell would I fight him? It makes no sense. Now, if we win a few down the road, if the UFC wants it, bet, we'll do it. But I can tell you right now, he was not offered. And the Russian, I can't say his name right, but I'm going to learn it because I am going to fight him. And he said he wanted the fight too on Twitter, but they never offered him either. So I never even got those. So I had two other offers, the newbies and then Charles Johnson. And Charles Johnson's the man. So let's go.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. I will say that Cody did, you know, he did hook me up with some Fat Leap gear, but I'm going to need some brick gear to compete. So expect an order from this guy very soon.
Yes. Definitely. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool because, you know, they know that you were getting all these, new fights, new guys coming in. And I'm glad that you took the Charles Johnson fight over the other two that you told me that you had, you know, because like I said, better matchup. But I mean, granted, this is a fight where either you could get a 50K bonus for a finish of the night, or you get that 50K bonus for a fight of the night.
Yeah.
You know, so either way, I feel like you can come away with an extra 50 G's. Even Charles could possibly come away with another 50 G's. I know he was campaigning for this fight. You normally don't get guys that are really want to fight each other and they actually get the fight. And they're not, there's no animosity. They just want to fight. They're like, I want to put on the show. And I know you guys got to put on the show. So, you know, what other than, you know, the match itself, what made you want to take this fight other than the others that were offered to you?
Well, actually, the first one was a Brazilian and I was told he said no. And he looked pretty big and hasn't fought at flyweight a lot. So I'm pretty sure on 6 weeks, that's probably why he said no. And then the other one, it was just thrown at me. He's from some other country, never fought in the UFC either. And I felt like even him being 15-0, me beating somebody like that, that somebody might not know either, is not going to help me on my comeback fight. Like somebody like Charles Johnson, at least he's a former LFA flyweight champ. One of the one and only, if not few, that defended the flyweight title. And he's 1-1 in the UFC, man. And so why not?
Another one popped into my mind when you said comeback. And, you know, excuse me if this is a little too forward. You know, a lot of things have changed in your life since the last time we talked. And I'm really curious, like, what's the dating scene like for a UFC fighter? Do you, like, you know, buy them? Like, my go-to before I was married, I used to send them, send girls waters. And then that way it would kind of open up the conversation. And then if they'd be like, why the hell did you send me a water? And I'd be like, well, I don't know if you're worth, you know, a shot, you know, and then it would get them over to talk to me. But I'm just curious as to, like, when in the conversation do you mention, you know, that you beat people up for a living, and, you know, how are you navigating all of these new changes in your life?
That's a really good question. I love it. So, well, at first, man, I didn't know what to do. Talk about 11 years of just, you know, committed to somebody. And then, you know, yeah, it was weird. And the first time, you know, it was actually pretty easy because I knew the person, and, you know, I just, you know, kept bumping into somebody I knew from a long time ago. And then, so I didn't have to tell, you know, some of them who I was. And it's not like when I go out, like my buddies, they took me out and we're at Buffalo Wild Wings watching fights. And they're acting like, yeah, you can get her. I'm like, dude, none of them girls. I was like, I am not that big, dude. I was like, I bet if I stood up right now and yelled and asked how many people know who I am, I said, maybe 4 people, and they're all going to be dudes. I promise. Like, and I can't say I won 50K. I won 50K like 2 years ago. They know damn well I ain't got more. So, you know, I ended up, you know, getting with a girl that trains jiu-jitsu. And so I'm just settling down with that right now. Got my mind down and, you know, got somebody that loves to roll and do jiu-jitsu and understands what I'm going through. So happened quicker than I thought, but, you know, like, what the hell? Like you said, what are you going to do? I'm a UFC fighter. Like, I'm going to get out there and fucking find out. So that's what happened. But it went really well. You know, I'll tell you that. It went really well.
Well, congratulations. I do a lot of interviews. I interview actors, directors, and, you know, voiceover artists. And that's kind of one of my go-to questions to break the ice. You know, like, did you ever tell someone that you were the voice on Magic School Bus and get laid? And, you know, more often than not, the answer is yes. So I'm happy to hear that it works in the MMA world as well. Congratulations to you, the prick.
Oh man, that's a good one. That's Jesse for you. But yeah, I mean, we are a betting podcast. You know that. You come on here, you give picks. You give out Flix picks. We see you week in, week out. So we want to know what Flix picks are for UFC 282. Let's do a little rapid fire session here. All right, we'll do the main card. We'll go through it. You just give us who you think gets the dub. We'll start off the first fight. Bryce Mitchell taking on Ilya Topuria. Who do you got?
Man, dude, this fight I think is crazy, man. And I'm a huge Bryce Mitchell fan. I was supposed to fight with Topuria because Cody got the pink eye and on that December 5th, and that's when he fought. He knocked out Jackson. And, I'm glad we didn't fight on that card. Well, I mean, if I would have got a flying triangle, I probably still would have got the 50K, but there were so many knockouts on that card, man. And that's the first time I seen that dude fight. And I think he's a monster. But I think Bryce Mitchell's – dude, I love Bryce Mitchell, dude. He's going to go forward. I think if he can get it to the ground 100%, he's going to control him. I think the first round's going to be very dangerous. But if Topuria don't get him out of there in the first round – and he talked about he cuts a lot of weight, too, because they wanted to move the date of the fight and stuff like that. And Bryce, he's got cardio for days, so – I think Bryce Mitchell, I don't know if he'll finish him. I think he might just take him down a lot and, you know, control him. But I would like to see him get the submission. But I think it's going to be a good fight. And, man, it's hard picking Bryce Mitchell on that one, but I am going to pick Bryce Mitchell.
That's a good one. Before we get to the next one, we have a comment from Alex Bambimov. I think that's where you want to say. But he's like, I love Jimmy. I'm a big fan of him. I'm so excited for his comeback. But no disrespect, if you offer Dagestanis or Chechen fighters, I'll keep my mouth shut. That's all I can tell. Wish you good luck.
This guy. Hey, they're gonna come. This, and we won. I mean, I only care about one. So, like, his O's got to go, and I think I'm gonna be the guy to do it.
Yeah, Alex thinks he's a Russian himself, and he's definitely not. So.
I love it, man. Hey, he stays stuck to it, man, no matter what.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could be 0-25. That man will stick by his Chechen and his Russian fighters. He's like, don't matter.
Russian and Bryce Mitchell. That's all he's about.
Yep, that's true. Hey, look, yep. Bryce Mitchell is right? Boy.
Jump his in boy. On. Love for Bryce Mitchell.
I love Bryce Mitchell. I mean I would pick Bryce Mitchell over a lot of people. So yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Also, we have a question from Forrest Daniels. He's asking, how do you deal with Russian or Dagestani wrestlers?
I haven't had to deal with them, so I don't know. But
he's like, I don't know.
Ask them the same. They're gonna come at me because that's my style, and. You know, like, I think a lot of people, they might be afraid to put me on my back. So if so, that might work good against them. And, you know, I don't know, but I'm fighting Charles Johnson. So
right. You don't have to worry about no Russians. That's a good thing. You know, you don't have to worry about defending takedowns. You defend, you know, go against Charles Johnson. But anyways, let's keep it moving. The next fight is a fight between Darren Till and Dricus du Plessis in the middleweight division. Who do you got there?
Man, poor Darren Till, man. It's like this guy, he's finally getting a fight, and I think it's a bad matchup. And, like, I like this other dude, du Plessis, and he's 3-0 in the UFC. He's well-rounded, and he's smart. I think he just takes Darren Till down and beats him up, wears him out. But, I think Darren Till's going to take another loss.
That would suck. He's also talking about going back down to 170. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that at this point. We'll see. The next fight is a catchweight bout between Santiago Ponzinibbio and Alex Morono. What do you got in that one?
I mean, Alex Morono took this fight on like a week's notice. He's fighting at catchweight 180. I like Alex. He brings the fight. But Santiago, man, his striking is really good. And I think Alex is going to strike with him. I don't think he's going to wrestle with him coming in out of shape. So I think Santiago is going to get it.
I can see that. All right. So we're up to our co-main event, which is probably one of the more exciting fights on the card next to Bryce Mitchell and Ilya Topuria. Paddy Pimblett taking on Jared Gordon. Who do you got there?
Man, I got to support the Paddy, dude. Like, dude, he's hit the flying triangle. He knows what it's about. So I think Gordon's a tough dude, and it's going to be a good fight. I think he's going to have a test, but he's got the reach. He's already had two fights in the UFC, and he's doing good. Like, this is the only guy, like, I guess apparently when I got super fat, I should have took pictures. I should have showed people. I got as big as, like, 170 after I fought Cody. Man. Like, I get pretty big sometimes, and, like, it's insane. Like, I had cankles. And, like, y'all, no joke. So, no, it's actually about Nate Smith because I got entered in USADA, and I had took a water pill to try to help my cankles go down. And the UFC was like, nah, you can't take that, man. And I was like, well, I told you, but it was just because I'm fat, man. I promise. But, like, so when they showed up and drug tested me, thank goodness it wasn't even in my system because I only took it one time. And trying to get some water out of fat ass, like, I was like 173, insane, man. No pictures though.
Next time.
All right, so we're on to our main event between Jan Blachowicz and Magomed Ankalaev for the heavyweight championship. Who do you got there?
I mean, the Russian. Like, that was for what's his name, Alex. Yeah, going with him. I mean. What's crazy, though, I went back and looked at it just because I wanted to know. Y'all know who his one loss in the UFC was?
Paul Craig, yeah.
And that fool be getting them all. Jamal Hill, like, there's a few other. Like, that's the guy, man. Like, I like, but he's on, like, a 9-fight win streak, man, and I think it's a great matchup for him. I don't think Jan will be able to get it to the ground, and unless Jan overwhelms a big storm and homeboy gasses out, I don't see it happening. I think he gets it done in the first three rounds as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I have one other question about this card. You know, I'm actually going to be rooting for Rosas Jr. just because he's ugly as fuck, and I feel sorry for him. I mean, Perrin said that he could be Santa Claus before he could be a UFC fighter, and I honestly, I'm not sure if he could do that because he would scare the children. I don't think he can work in the public, so what else is he going to do besides be a fighter? What do you think about this kid? Like, I'm very curious as to what do other UFC fighters think of this guy?
Dude, honestly, I don't know what to think. And honestly, I wasn't impressed by him. I mean, he's got good jiu-jitsu. That's it. I honestly think he's got his hands full tomorrow night. And I think he fought. We all, I'm pretty sure y'all know Miguel. I mean, Miguel's a tough dude, man. And I don't think he fought the smartest fight, but he stuck in there and didn't get finished, you know. And this kid's caliber, as he gets in the UFC, is only going to get better. And Jay, the guy he's fighting, got two losses, and they're by decision. So, in the UFC, and I don't know. I think he's got a tough fight for him. I think he's trying too hard, though, because he really wants to push being the youngest UFC fighter. But there's no way in hell, homie. Like, I'll come up 35 and fucking smash you. Like, fight better than kids too, dude. And like, he's good. And I think over time it'll be all right. But if he tries too hard too soon, you lose 3-4 fights in the UFC. It don't matter who you are. You're gone.
That's true.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's good. It's gonna be interesting to see him fight. This fight card top to bottom is actually pretty good. I know we lost a few fights, but if there was one fight that stands out to you, what would be your fight for this fight card?
That stands out the most?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, man, Bryce Mitchell, man, that's my fight, dude. Like, that's the one I'm gonna be watching. I'm excited to see that guy back. We do have a flyweight fight. I am excited that, because De Silva, he's 1-2. He really needs to get a win here, and they're giving him a newcomer. I don't know who this guy is, but he's a favorite over him. So, I mean, if you're fighting a guy with three fights in the UFC and you're a favorite, I mean, imagine he's pretty good. But I didn't do no research on, what's it, like, Salvador, I think.
Vinicius Salvador, yeah.
So, did he fight on the Tuesday Night Contender? Because I feel like
He beat Shannon Ross by knockout in the second round, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, nice. So that's good. So I'll be watching that fight to see how it goes. I'm always watching the flyweight fights now because, like you said, we never know who's going to step up. And if everything goes good, you know, I got two fights on my contract after this. Like I said, it's a full-time job now. I want to win this fight, and then I want to stay active, maybe call a few out, see if I get them. If I don't, stay on standby, like, you know, take Charles Johnson's status, you know, by beating them, and then be the most active flyweight, you know. So then they could have two of us, you know. So I'm trying to fight, do this full time, and you know, fight out this contract and see what kind of opportunities I have.
So as far as like getting back in there, you, as long as you're fully healthy, you're looking to get back in there fairly soon, right? Probably 3-4 months down the road after this last fight, after this next fight?
Yeah, man, most definitely, or even sooner. I mean, like you said, I mean, I'm going right back to the gym. I'm going to stay out. I mean, that's going to be my full-time job. I mean, I do commentating. I do, you know, other things to try to make money as well. And, you know, I push my own merchandise now. So I'll stock up on my own merchandise. I want to go and set up booths, you know, talk, just get my name out there, get my merchandise out there. So I'll have that in a month. I'll have the brick merchandise. I had a pre-order link out, so some people hit it. I sold a couple hundred shirts, and then I'll have 50 in stock on my hand where I can, you know, kind of push it myself. I'm going to get some hats made and, you know, start pushing that. And I just want to get my name out there and do what I can and, you know, go fight January 14th and hopefully go pick up this W and fucking see what the UFC offers next.
Awesome, bro.
If you find yourself in Houston, feel free to reach out to me. I know a bunch of people out here that do like card shows and things like that. And it wouldn't be an issue getting you a booth to, you know, sell some shirts, take some pictures, kiss some babies, you know, that sort of thing.
Find some titties. You know?
Hell yeah. I love it.
Hell yeah.
I'll help you run that booth.
All right, man. We appreciate your time here. We don't want to take up too much of your time. But before you go, you need to shout out, you know, everything you can, you know, your website for your merchandise, your social handles. We want everybody to know where they can follow you and where they could buy the hottest Flick merchandise. Jimmy the Brick Flick, let them know.
All right. Well, on the merchandise, like I said, the link just went off, so I'll have to set it up again later. But you can always follow my fan page. Fan page is Jimmy the Brick Flick. If you just go in and type in www.thebrickmma.com, it takes you straight to my fan page. If you do that on Google, or you can just do it in the Facebook search, it takes you right to my fan page. Hit the like button, and boom, you can talk to me, message me. I'm on Twitter at Jimmy Flick. I'm on Instagram at TheBrickMMA with that little blue check mark. Nice. So, you know, I'm trying to get all my other accounts certified as well. So I appreciate everybody for the support. And I want to give a shout out to all my sponsors. Shout out to Harvest Health, Industrial Motor Services, Tulsa Sport Acupuncture, Evolved Health, Palmer Law, Primary Colors, Retro Relics, now going to be Primary Collectibles, Broadway Barber Shop, The Parlor Hair and Ink, International Crematory Services. I told them I'm going to send all the bodies over there after I get done with them. Inkwell Printing. Thanks, sir. USA, Forza Combat Sports, CrossFit Sand Springs, and Ryan BJJ. I got it all right there, man. All them sponsors helped me out. I'm able to quit my job. I got 5 weeks to train full time, and, you know, got 5 weeks for Charles Johnson, January 14th. I can't wait, man. I appreciate y'all.
I appreciate you, bro.
If you guys need any help finding any of these links or getting in touch with Jimmy the Brick Flick, feel free to reach out to me. I know you guys know me and how to find me, but I will get you in touch with this man. I will get you in touch with all of his merch and his social medias. We are here to serve this man because we are in full support of him January 14th.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. We appreciate you coming on. You're always welcome to come back on here. We definitely want you to come back on after you get this dub. We want to hear all about it. So, yeah, man, we appreciate you. Good luck. Get that dub, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, I have one question, though, for y'all.
What?
Do fight coach, who y'all picking?
Oh, you. I mean, I don't have to second guess it. Yeah, I don't have to second guess it. We're not second guessing shit here. No,
my sub.
Yeah,
my sub.
But just like you say, you know he's gonna fade down the stretch. You'll take over and get the dub.
Right.
Here's an idea for your next shirt. Death Taxes Jimmy Flick by sub. Print it.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate you, bro. Talk to you later.
Yep, later, y'all.
All right, that was Jimmy the Brick Flick, everybody. Please go over there. Get over there, follow this man. Buy his merchandise when it's back up there. We can't wait to see him fight January 14th, taking on Charles Johnson. That fight's going to be an absolute banger. When he told me that was one of the people that they were thinking about matching him up with, I was all in on that matchup. Man, that is going to be insane. We know what Charles Johnson brings to the table. We know what Jimmy brings to the table. It's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, it sucks though, because I like both. I like Jimmy. I like Cody.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they're going to have to fight for my friendship.
Right. I don't want to talk shit about either one of them. I just think Jimmy wins. I like Cody. I like Jimmy.
We'll see if it ever happens again down the line. I mean,
I think it will. I think they have that, you know, love hate chemistry between the two of them. It's a very exciting fight. Cody's starting to get some wins under his belt as well. When Jimmy gets big back wins. In there, yeah, I know he's getting huge wins, and then you have Jimmy getting back in there, getting some more wins, and I feel like they're destined to fight each other sometime later down the road again.
That is one that if that happens, no matter where it is, we will be there.
Yes. We have to be there.
And I will break my sobriety for that one as well. So it'll be a monumental day.
Yes, bro. I'm looking forward to it. All right. With that said, we're here to break down some fights. We're here to put money into your pockets. UFC 282 on tap this Saturday night, live at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Anyways. Let's start on the prelims. Our first fight up is in the bantamweight division between Cameron Simon and Stephen Koslow. Right now, the line is, I think, Cameron Simon's like a minus 380 favorite? Right. No, minus 360 favorite, and the comeback on Koslow plus 295. Who do you got in this one?
So Cameron, you know, I wasn't really sure what to think about him going into the fight on Tuesday night, but he really impressed me. Like, holy shit, this kid could fight.
He impressed and you? While... He impressed you?
Yes.
I wasn't impressed.
Well, I mean, who won the fight?
Right, but how and why did he win the fight?
Who did you have money on?
Well, I mean, if he actually impressed me, I wouldn't care who I had money on. I had money on Kim, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, the reason why he won is because Kim fought like an absolute dumbass and starts to grapple and tire himself out for no apparent reason in round two.
Yeah, but I also think that – so this kid is super young.
Yes.
And I mean, like, going against Kim in that position, like, that's a lot of pressure.
Right.
It's a huge step up. Like, there was a lot of things about him that were impressive. I guess that's right. I should say.
No. I mean, we can. I'm just busting your balls, but
you're fine. You know, but and that's what's kind of interesting about this matchup. I don't agree with the line. You know, he's fighting another young and hungry prospect, Koslow. You know, but he does have a weird ass nickname. Did you catch it?
No.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Pillow, which is really strange. But he hasn't really faced anyone worth a shit either. You know, at least Cameron had some decent wins leading up to the Tuesday fight. But he wasn't really tested. So that's why this line is a little deceiving or a little off to me. Koslow won't have anything that Cameron hasn't already seen. At least I don't think. Both are tough, so I assume this one does go the full 15 with Simon getting his hand raised. That's my prediction. I do think he wins the decision, but I'm not too confident in it just because I didn't find that much footage on Koslow.
Yeah, you really couldn't find much footage on either one of these two.
We couldn't find any on Simon.
Right, because Simon is on behind a paywall. And I believe Koslow is also behind a paywall as well. He fought for Combat Night, which is based down here in Florida. But he's a jiu-jitsu guy. 10th Planet, Jacksonville is where he trains out of. He's got various different submission wins. I think majority of his wins are by submission in the first round as well. Definitely can't play Simon at this price. He's super young, super green still. Doesn't mean he's bad. I think he's got a lot of promise, but... super young, super green, only 6-0. And then Koslow, another guy, super green, only 6-0 as well. But the only thing I would kind of think about betting on is Koslow by round one submission, which is at plus 1,500. That's the only thing that I would even remotely throw $5 to $10 on, because this fight is kind of bonkers all together. It's either, and I feel like that's the only prop that really stands out to me, because you can make a lot if you're just betting a little bit on a plus 1500. I mean, I think you can lose a happy meal, you know, to you win. Can. I think people could lose a happy meal, can risk a happy meal for, you know, for a potential $100 essentially.
Here's another storyline, I guess you could say. So obviously, Simon and Duplessis, you know, they hang out together. They train together. They're part of the same camp. You know, can you imagine just walking into a Buffalo Wild Wings and seeing those two? But my point is that I'm assuming that they're going to try to do something like a Molly McCann, Patty Pimblett here. That really all depends on if Duplessis beats Till in devastating fashion, which is very possible. We shall see.
We shall see. Let's keep it moving. All right. Our next fight up is in the men's flyweight division between Daniel Da Silva and Vinicius Salvador. Right now, Salvador minus 250. Come back on Da Silva plus 210. What do you got?
Silva, you know, I hate to go against my boy, Jimmy Flick, but he has three very telling losses in a row. So Salvador opening up at -200 was a gift. I hope you snagged that because, you know, I did. Him knocking out Shannon Ross, you know, that's another huge feather in his cap. And I don't think the feathers will stop this weekend. Look for Salvador to find another one and a KO when he faces Silva this weekend. Both will have moments, but Salvador will eventually find the finish. I like him by KO. I think it's money in the bank.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very reluctant to play a Contender Series alum in his debut at -250, but I think he is the right side here. De Silva is the better fighter, but he has absolutely no chin.
Yeah.
His chin, I don't even think he has a chin on his body, because if you get knocked down or knocked out by Victor Altamirano, you need to stop fighting. That's just no bueno. That dude cannot. He's got pillows for hands. It's just no. At least Vinicius Salvador, I think 13 or 14 of his wins have come by knockout. The dude has some serious, serious knockout power. The under is at under 1.5 is -220. That is an insane. And it's not like Salvador is like fucking Ngannou out here. It's just that De Silva, and De Silva has literally no chin. And I expect this Salvador to really put it on him and get a first round knockout. Let's be honest. I mean, he's gonna touch him, and he's gonna touch him, and he's probably gonna go down. Like, I don't want to say immediately, but he's definitely gonna get that. I mean, Salvador to win in round one is -110. -110. I mean, damn. They're like, okay, this dude's gonna get a first round knockout. Salvador to win by knockout round one is only +115, +120.
That's like a heavyweight fight. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, you don't see that at flyweight, but they're seeing like this man is dust. His chin is dust, and he's going to get dusted by Salvador. So, yeah, I got Salvador getting the dub as well.
What's the round two? What's the KO plus, round two?
Well, for him to win round two was +500, but for him to win by knockout in round two, so by knockout around two is +650 to +700.
I mean, that, like, you know, that might be worth taking a stab at it. Just cross your fingers and hope he can last, you know.
I'd say you hit both the round one at +120, then you hit the round two at +700.
Yeah, I would do that too. That's safe, but you know, daddy needs a new pair of shoes. So, I mean, I might just put both on round two. The dude has a cool name, okay? So, either way, Vinicius is going to win this by KO. You know, be smart with your money.
Be smart. All right, next up, we got a fight in the featherweight division between Eric Silva and TJ Brown. Basically a pick-up, -110 across the board. Who do you got?
I cannot believe that this is a pick-em. You know, I really can't. You know, despite being a bit on the older side, Silva is a beast. You know, I cashed big on him during the Contender fight. I know you did too. And I'd assume we see more of the same here. You know, he's probably going to get Brown down with ease. And instead of winning via ground and pound this time, I think he actually finds the choke. Brown just can't compete with this dude on the ground. Many can't, so it is what it is. I don't think that he'll be able to ground and pound TJ Brown, but I'm liking the sub here. I like Eric Silva. I love these odds, and I'm liking the submission as well. Probably round one, like Forrest is saying.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I jumped all over this. We got him at -110. It's still a good price. We know that Brown's defensive lapses is in his defensive grappling. He got taken down, controlled by Charlene Nordebeka. He got taken down and controlled by Danny Chavez. He's been taken down in four of his last six fights. Eric Silva, I mean, he's not an elite BJJ black belt, but he's a big fucking dude. I mean, he used to fight at 155. He's big. He's strong. He's competent enough on the feet to not get knocked out.
Yeah,
and his grappling is just going to be better than Brown, and I feel like he finishes him too via rear naked choke, like Forrest Daniels is saying. I think he's just the better grappler. We've seen Brown have troubles with heavy top control and a very good grappler, which Silva is. Another thing to note, both James Krause and Bryce Mitchell will not be in his corner. So that's two people that normally are in his corner not being able to be there. Obviously, Bryce is fighting and Krause is banned. So we know that I think maybe his striking coach that has been there with him is going to be in his corner, plus two other random people that are going to be there. So not having your head coach, not having your main training partner in your corner, I think it's going to be at a big disadvantage for him as well. So Gimi Silva getting the job done, and TJ Brown is just another glory hole MMA fighter on the wrong end of getting cut.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You would assume that line would have got hit a little bit more, you know.
Well, there's also sports books that are not taking bets on Krause fighters. Brown is one of those fighters. So if you go to New Jersey, you cannot bet on this fight. It will not be on the board, supposedly.
That's interesting.
So
cool.
Anyways, keeping it moving, our next fight up is in the featherweight division between Billy Quarantillo and Alexander Hernandez. Right now, Billy Q -170 to come back on Hernandez +145. What do you got?
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. You know, it seems like just yesterday that Hernandez stunned Dariush. But it doesn't seem like Hernandez really has evolved. You know, I love the kid, you know, San Antonio prospect, but something has got to give. You know, Billy Q, on the other hand, he has extremely heavy hands for his frame. And despite the reach disadvantage, I'm thinking that jab, you know, should be money. The only thing I'm worried about is Billy's new gang affiliation. He's hanging out with this loser, Ben Davis of It's .com, and I can't help but think that this is a little bit of a distraction. You know, I assume this one goes down a lot like the Cowboy fight. Alex, a bloody mess, and his opponent with their hand raised. I love Alex, don't get me wrong. I love that he's like, you know, he plays up the prick aspect. You know, I think it works when he's winning, but obviously I don't think that it'll work for this fight.
Yeah.
And Billy Q, message for you. Pick better friends. That's all I have to say.
Oh, man. I actually like this fight. I'm just trying to figure out why Alexander Hernandez is making the move down to 145. It's never a good thing when you're moving down a weight class unless you're Jose Aldo. He's the only exception here at all, because the rest, it doesn't work out, especially when Hernandez is already big for 155. I mean, the dude is fucking yoked, and now he has to drop down to 145. So you have questions there about his cardio. His cardio was already shit at 155. It's not going to get better cutting down an extra 10 pounds. It's just not. So, and we know Billy has extreme cardio. He puts on an extreme pace that it's hard to match. And I expect him to drown Hernandez in this matchup. I like Billy Q to win in round three, and that's +1,000.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
I think that's
Hernandez does fade, and he will
every fade. Fight. Every fight he fades, and there's no way, no how he doesn't fade in a fight, cutting it 10 extra pounds in the first fight. I mean, it's not an automatic that this is going to hit, but I think Billy Q is a late round finisher too. He's finished numerous opponents late rounds, and I think Hernandez is another guy he could finish late. He fades at 155. Billy Q puts on an insane pace that's hard to match. I think he's gonna have Hernandez huffing and puffing midway round two and get that third round finish.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious to see. You know, you mentioned Hernandez is yoked, he's coming down in weight. I am curious to see if his nipples still have muscles. So that'll be the big bet for me, the over under, how many nipples still have muscles. So anyway,
we'll be looking into that. Forrest Daniels says, I love this fucking show. You fellas do your homework in a sport that's very difficult to bet on. I mean that. I appreciate you, Forrest Daniels. We love having you here each and every episode with us. But yes, we also will look to see how many muscles, how many nipple muscles that Alexander Hernandez has this weekend. Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Jesse will let us know next week. All right, moving on. Our next fight up is in the middleweight division between Chris Curtis and Joaquin Buckley. Right now, the line is minus 165 for Buckley to come back on Curtis, plus 140. Who do you got?
You know, this is an interesting fight, you know, but I have to mention this. When I sign into Twitter these days, I really don't know what to expect. You know, that being said, seeing Chris Curtis telling a recently turned 18-year-old family member to start an OnlyFans wasn't on my bingo sheet. I mean, seriously, like, hear me out. Telling anyone to join OnlyFans is odd, but why would you suggest it to a family member? Chris Curtis, you know, so have someone look over your tweets, my man, because that is just weird. Separate the art from the artist, I guess. You know, we have, you know, the MMA finally has their Woody Allen. Moving on, Ray Cooper III is the only one to have knocked out Curtis. And to me, that seems like Buckley's path to victory. Curtis has fought and beat the better competition. Ultimately, I like the dog odds here on Chris Curtis. I like him by decision because I really don't, I think that he'll be able to avoid Buckley's, you know, heavy hands. And I think that he'll just like cruise to a decision ultimately. But either way, yeah, quit tweeting, you know, put the Twitter down.
Oh, man. My only drawback about Curtis, we saw in the Hermanson fight, he wasn't able to corral Hermanson. He wasn't able to cut off the cage. If you can't do that here, he's going to have trouble with Buckley, who I think is a little bit faster than him, a little bit more athletic as well. But what Buckley does is he tends to come into range when he lands his strikes. He jumps in, jumps out, uses that speed and that power, and that's where Curtis is going to have to counter him as he comes in. If he's not able to, I think Buckley will be able to just kind of outpoint him, just do more, land more shots, and get the job done. But ultimately, at this price, I would probably take the dog money on Chris Curtis as well. I think he's got a more well-rounded skill set. I think he's more polished in his striking as well. But my favorite play is taking the over 1.5 rounds. I got it at minus 150 early in the week, but it's now at minus 170. Both these guys are extremely durable. I don't expect either one of them to get a knockout, at least early knockout. I expect it to go over 7.5 minutes. I mean, let's be honest. These two dudes they're extremely tough, extremely durable, and I'm expecting a very closely contested fight for 15 minutes between these two.
Yeah, simple as that.
Simple as that. Moving on, our next fight up, I believe, is also in the middleweight division between Edmund Shahbazyan and Dulce Lungiambula. Right now, Shahbazyan is minus 295 the comeback on Lungiambula, plus 245. Who do you got?
Yeah, dude, honestly, this I want to be excited for this fight, but it's hard to be excited for it. You know, Edmund had so much promise, and then it just like
vanished. Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah, you know, Dolce's only shot is really a quick KO here, because if he doesn't get it in round one, he kind of just like slow, like, I don't know, he's it's weird. But I really don't see that happening. I mean, it is possible, but Shahbazyan seems smarter than that. Both guys have decision losses recently, and because of this, I'm thinking both guys attempt to avoid the big blows, and one of them cruises to a decision. You know, while Dalcha does have the reach advantage, Edmund seems to understand his body a bit more, and he's decent enough on the ground. I'm hoping he learned from the Hermanson fight and keeps this one at range while jabbing Dalcha along the way. In conclusion, I think that this will be really, really boring, and I think it's going to just come down to who's smarter. I'm going to guess that it's Edmund, and I think he does win by decision, but this is not a good fight.
Yeah, I mean, we have Las Vegas Edmund Shahbazyan now training over at Extreme Couture. We're hoping and praying that, you know, this layoff, the, you know, the change of camp will just do him a lot better. I'm expecting to see a much better version of him than we saw in the Imavov fight where he got absolutely dominated. And then he's also getting a massive, massive step down in competition in Dolce Longiambula. I mean, Dolce, he's got decent wrestling. He's got decent power, but he just can't put it together. He's looked lost in there. He's slow. He fades as the fight goes on. Shabazzian's much bigger, much longer, much better striker. So it pretty much comes down to whether or not Shabazzian is, you know, all done, like he's done, or, you know, he's trying to get back on track. And I feel like he gets back on track here. It's a showcase fight. They're giving him a layup. They're letting him get his feet wet after his new training camp. They want him to get a win because, you know, he's marketable. He's still a good fighter. He had a lot of promise. So I just think they threw him to the wolves too fast with Derek Brunson, which we cashed at +300 against him. So, but yeah, I get Edmund Shabazzian taking this one, finally getting back into the win column.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, Forrest Daniels, skipping the 282 press conference for us. We love you, man. We love you. One love.
Yeah, you know, while we have Forrest up there, we did have a friendly play against it was the what was the main event last week? Kevin Holland and
Wonderboy Thompson. Boy. Ooh, yeah, that was a good fight.
Well, he had Wonderboy. I had Holland.
Oh, so
your boy paid out. So
you gotta listen to me, bro. Yeah. And just like I should have listened to you on Roman Delitzy. So
and Ryan Spann, but I'm not keeping count.
No, I think you are. I think you are a little bit. I think I have more to keep count on. But you know who's counting there. Anyways, let's keep it moving.
Hopefully I get invited back next week.
All right, our featured bout on the prelims. We have a fight in the bantamweight division between Jay Perrin and Raul Rosas Jr. Right now, Rosas -230 to come back on Perrin +195. What do you got?
Yeah, I already mentioned this. I'm going for Rosas just because he's ugly, and I really don't think he has a career outside of MMA or sports in general. I think that, you know, with MMA, at least he has the excuse that I got punched in the face. If he had a different build, you know, he could hide it with a helmet or even, you know, whatever. I mean, seriously, he can't work in public. He looks like someone had a fresh cup of Play-Doh and just went to town. He's a little green still, but I think he handles Perrin here. The fight will probably find its way to the ground and either Perrin gets held or subbed. The outcome just really depends on if Rosas wants it. You know, we could see something like we saw on Tuesday where he just holds him on the ground and we get a boring decision, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he wins by submission.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that way as well. I don't really like playing his lineup -230 because he is 18. He is facing a guy that's much more experienced than him, that, you know, has much more probably, I don't want to say more strength than him, but I mean, he's got more overall MMA experience and that really helps him. But the thing is, Rosas, you know, he's elite in one area where Perrin is not. You know, he's not elite in any area. He's good. He's a good all-around fighter. He can win striking exchanges. He can take you to the mat, but he's not elite. And I think the elite grappling of Rosas will be able to take Perrin down. I think he'll drag him to the mat one which way possible. He's got good double legs. He's got good single legs. He's got good chain wrestling to go with his elite jiu-jitsu skills. You know, the way he was able to, you know, keep Mondo's back and keep him to the mat, it was impressive. But, you know, there's not a line I really want to test whether he's going to win or lose, but I think it gets the job done. And also, you have to think about Perrin. He's got a lot of things stacked up against him. He's going against a kid, someone that just turned legal. So now he has all that added pressure that he has to beat a kid.
Hide Chris Curtis.
He has all this added pressure that he should not be losing to a child. Okay. Then he'll be 3 in a row and probably cut on top of it. So there's all this added pressure to it that I think may boil over into this matchup and really be at a disadvantage for him. I like Perrin. I like the way he fights and stuff like that. I hope he does get the job done. But ultimately, I think Roses gets the dub here via sub, probably inside 2 rounds.
Yeah, the one thing that's interesting about this fight before we move on is, they're kind of throwing this in the mix as far as like one of the big fights to watch. And, you know, they had to dig deep for those highlights, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had like Jay Perrin versus Roses Jr. And I'm like, where did you find this footage? It's like they just put their heads on other.
Yeah, I mean, because you really couldn't find much on Roses, so I don't know what they really pulled.
Just them, like, punching.
Yeah, I don't know what they pulled out of their ass to make this montage that they're going to probably use to promote this fight, because they're really pushing Roses. I mean, to give him a featured prelim spot, he's a kid. He's only 18 years old. They have so much – they're bringing so much hype behind this kid. And that's the reason why I kind of am reluctant to pay a premium, a minus 230, because there's no pressure. No, there's a shit ton of pressure. That's lot of fucking pressure for a kid to be in a sold out arena. You're the featured prelim on ESPN, and you're going to pay him at minus 230. We're Perrin, really? Yes, he has a lot to lose, but at the same token, he doesn't have as much pressure as Roses does, because he has to deliver, because he is now like the golden boy of the UFC. I mean, he's the youngest UFC fighter.
He's one of them
on the roster. He's the youngest kid to get signed to UFC at 17 years old. So there's all this added pressure, because he's talking about being great, being the next champion, being the youngest champion. I mean, there's a lot. You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself saying that type of stuff. So we'll see if that pressure really makes or breaks him. We'll see what happens. But ultimately, I do think he wins, though.
Well, on the other side of that coin, though, this is the most attention Perrin has probably ever got. And the few interviews that I have seen with Roses, he handles it pretty well. But
He definitely does.
I mean,
he's smooth on the mic. He's smooth on the mic, other than him sounding like he's got something in his mouth. But other than that, he's smooth on the mic. The kid knows what – he's very witty. The Santa Claus comment was pretty funny. I got to give it to him. The kid knows how to talk on the mic. It's different. It's not just all about how you can fight. It's how you can market yourself. And this kid knows how to market himself. If he gets the win here, I'm sure he's going to be talking a hell of shit on that mic. So it's going to be interesting to see who he calls out next.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep it moving. I think I missed the fight. My bad, everybody. I missed the fight in the heavyweight fight between Jair Zinho, Rosenstrike, and Chris Dawkins. I just fucking leapfrogged that shit. My bad. Right now, that line is minus 170 to come back on Dawkins, plus 145. What do you got on that one?
Yeah, I thought you skipped it so that I wouldn't make a suicide joke. So what I will say is that for Garrett's sake, is that Chris Dawkins was not in the best of worlds, per se, after his last loss. And then it's amazing to me, as well as Garrett, because he's the one that pointed this out to me, that Rosenstruck is only sitting at a minus 170. After being so down and out, you would assume that, the odds would be a little bit different. Speaking of which, though, Dawkins losing to Lewis in the way that he did is a little more telling by the day. Rosenstruck has faced and beat the better competition, and he has a slight reach advantage. There's nothing that Dawkins can bring that Rosenstruck hasn't seen, and the dude hits hard. That's a given. Dawkins will have his moments. I would assume that Rosenstruck finds the range and then eventually finds the finish. I like Dawkins. I just think that they pushed him a little too a little too fast, and I think it kind of bit the UFC in the ass a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, he looked good, you know, in his wins. He's got all knockout wins. That's why he got, you know, the Amini's event spot against Derek Lewis, and to his fault, got knocked the fuck out, and then gave him another main event spot against Curtis Blaydes, got knocked the fuck out. And now you get another heavy-handed hitter in Jairzinho Rozenstruik. You're not giving him any easy fights now, because anyone in the top 10 is a heavy-handed fighter. You know, they're not like an Abdurakhmonov or anybody like that in the top 10. So you
Shamil. Give
any, yeah, you don't get Shamil. You don't bet on, you know, you don't have any Shamils in the top 10. So anybody there is going to have heavy hands. And I think this is just a bad matchup. Rozenstruik, he's a decorated kickboxer. He was a kickboxer before turning into MMA. He's starting to round out his game. I know he's been working a lot on his wrestling, and I expect Dawkins to attempt takedowns here, but I feel like he's to no avail. I think Rozenstruik's going to have better takedown defense than people are going to give him credit for. And I think he's going to blast Dawkins probably inside two rounds. I like Chris Dawkins. I don't want to see him go out, but this is a really tough matchup. Maybe it proves me wrong, but I'm betting on Jairzinho Rozenstruik to get it done via knockout.
Yeah, and also I know that we were kidding and joking, but if anyone out there needs to talk about their life, you know, there are phone numbers and people you can reach out to. I think it's like dial 98. So I feel for Dawkins for having those ideas and thoughts, but it's not worth it.
Yeah, Forrest Daniels, today's Thursday's Facts brought to you by Garrett Kerman, Jesse Hobson. That's what we're here for, bringing you these facts. And then David Thomason, and you can get laid offering water.
He knows.
Oh, man.
It's a secret. Right. Trust me.
That's smart. Okay, I'm not going to try it because, yeah, you know, I kind of.
David. David can try it and then report back. The other really good thing, or one of the funner things to do, is to, like, if you want to start a conversation, go up to a girl and be like, hey, my friend over there, they asked him if he wants to be on Maury. And then, dude, for some reason, girls have so many opinions about daytime TV. And they will buy you drinks just to talk to you and your friend about you potentially being on Maury. So heads up. That's just another... I don't know. Like, I was going to pull something out of my pocket. It's just another gym that if you guys would like to use. Jimmy Flick, feel free to use that too, my man.
All right, let's keep it moving. Our first fight up on the main cards is fought between Bryce Mitchell and Ilya Topuria in the featherweight division. Right now, Bryce Mitchell. Sorry, it's all the way down here.
Yeah, it's in a weird spot.
Yeah. He's plus 120 in the comeback on Ilya Topuria, minus 140. Who do you got?
You know, ultimately, this is like a This is a heart pick and a heart play. I am rooting for Mitchell to win solely because I want to see another weird post-fight speech. There's no doubt the guy is talented, and there's just something about weird takes that I love. You know, I think last time we spoke about it too, there's this like belief in himself that makes him a better fighter, and that's something you can't teach. You know, Topuria, what can we say that hasn't already been said? The dude has heavy hands. You know, he's decent on the ground, but if this goes to the ground, which it probably will, I think Mitchell has a solid shot at sneaking in a submission. The kid has came a long way since losing to Bracatona. And it's so crazy to think that of all the studs on that show, Bryce Mitchell is still the one that's hanging strong. Yep. with no losses. You know,
yep.
So wild. Bryce Mitchell by sub. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm on Mitchell here. I don't know if it's going to be a submission because Ilya is a decorated BJJ black belt, but I mean, this is his toughest test yet for Topuria. I mean, he hasn't really had to defend takedowns against arguably anybody. I mean, there's I think Ryan Hall is the only one that that attempted more than two takedowns, and Ryan Hall is a terrible wrestler. He cannot take fights to the mat at all. And we saw Yusuf Zalal, granted this was on short notice, have success in the grappling against Topuria. He reversed position numerous times. He was able to control him for almost a third of the fight. So, yeah, man, I mean, I feel like there's going to be a levels to this. I know Topuria's got heavy hands. We know that. He can knock out anybody. He's coming off three straight knockouts. Granted, all those guys are chinny as fuck, but we'll see. Bryce did go up against good heavy-handed hitters, too. I mean, let's not forget that he went up against Edson Barbosa and Andre Feely. Those are two heavy-handed fighters, and he was able to weather their storm. He was able to take their punches, and he was able to go in and take them to the mat. And it really comes down to, I wouldn't want to play Topuria at minus 140 when you really haven't seen him fight through bad adversity. We haven't really seen him have to defend relentless takedown attempts either. You know, Bryce is averaging 3.4 takedowns per 15 minutes, and he's successful on 52% of those takedowns. That is really damn impressive. He has, what, 15 takedowns in his last four fights. 15 takedowns. 11 in his last two alone against Edson Barbosa, who he knocked down, might I add. Mm-hmm. He knocked down Edson Barbosa, and then he just wrestle-fucked Andre Feely into oblivion. I'm not saying this could be an easy fight by any means. Topuria is tough. He's got knockout power. He's got submission game. He's lethal. He's extremely dangerous. But I'm taking a shot on the dog here. I'm taking Bryce Mitchell plus 120. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, good fight regardless. I'm okay with losing money on a good fight.
Yeah, that's arguably the best fight in the card. Let's be honest. It really is the best fight in the card. All right, moving on. Our next fight is in the middleweight division between Darren Till and Dricus du Plessis. Right now, the line is minus 175 for du Plessis. The comeback on Darren Till plus 150. It looks like money is steadily coming in on Darren Till.
Yeah, it's because of his abs. I am not really, really sold on du Plessis. I mean, I thought he looked decent against Brad Tavares. I actually got a couple decent lines live, and I cashed insane in that fight. But I really truly believe, you know, Tavares kind of like faded, and then ultimately du Plessis got very lucky. His weird running punches, you know, he does like these jumbled punch things. They started to connect, and I think Till may be a little more hip to that approach than most people will give him credit for. You know, he is on a horrible run, but he's faced good competition. You know, call me crazy, but I think this one does go the full 15 minutes. Both guys will have their moments, and at the end of the fight, it'll be anyone's fight. So because of which, hot take, okay, I'm going to throw a Hail Mary here, and I'm going to take Darren Till by split decision. Du Plessis should connect the heavier blows, but I'm counting on vintage Till, as he looked really good in shape. You know, he did show off the abs at the presser. He did show off the abs to old One Eye. You know, I feel like Till is not done, and I think the judges are going to award him for that. So we'll see. I like the split decision. I think it's out there, but I think there's a shot.
I mean, it's not a bad dart throw. I'm personally not going to touch this fight at all. I mean, I think du Plessis is the right side, and I would wait until the line comes down a little bit more, but I mean, there's too many question marks surrounding Darren Till. I know he's only lost to elite competition, and maybe he's in better shape now. But he's coming off a long layoff. He's coming off injury after injury after injury. You really don't know what you're going to get from him. And then he's talking about going back down to 170 because he's not having any type of advantage at 185 at all. He's not faster. He's not more powerful. He just doesn't have to cut as much weight. That's pretty much it. There's no advantage that he has at 185. Jake Duplessis is faster. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's more powerful. He has literally all the advantages. But with Till, I think he's definitely the much more technical striker of the two. He can catch. He can catch Duplessis as he's coming in with those looping shots and those running punches. Till doesn't have a lot of power, but he has the precision, and he knows that he can get it there fast. That left hand is like a piston. It comes fast. It's very good on the counter. And I feel like, you know, Till's takedown defense is going to really be tested. It's going to look, we're going to see how Khamzat has really helped Till in his takedown defense for this matchup. So that's why it's a lot of question marks. I mean, we're going to see either the best version of Till we've ever seen, or we're going to see a guy that's pretty much done against an up-and-coming, surging prospect. So ultimately, I'm going to take Duplessis to win, but it's a fight that I'd rather just watch and see what happens.
I read something about Darren Till said he got, like, poked in the eye, almost to the point where, like, the finger was, like, almost all the way in his head.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
That's wild. Well, I think it's bullshit, but if he does lose, he'll say, you know, I'm basically Bisping 2.0 now. So we'll see what happens.
All right, moving on. Our next fight is a class weight fight between Santiago Ponzinibbio and Alex Morono. Right now, Ponzinibbio -180 to come back. Morono +155. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm not sure taking this fight on short notice is the best move for Morono. You know, Flick kind of touched on this, and I have to agree. You know, he doesn't have the best chin, and I think Ponzinibbio will come determined to find the knockout, especially after getting two split decision losses. You know, Morono is tough, but I wouldn't exactly call his recent wins spectacular. Unlike Morono, Ponzinibbio had a full camp, and after losing, he vowed to come back with vengeance. And I'm holding him. I think he finds the knockout very early, probably round two at the latest, round one at the latest, early in round two.
Yeah, you know, I've been up and down with this fight. You know, I wanted to take the dong money on Morono because Ponzinibbio is just a shell of him former self. He's looked like absolute trash can trash. But catch weight fight, I feel like Morono is going to be a bit slower than he normally would be. Taking this fight on just about a week's notice. Going against a heavy-handed fighter. He just got dropped against Semelsberger in his last fight. Granted, he won the fight, but Semelsberger is not Santiago Ponzinibbio. I think I'm rolling with what you're saying. I like Santiago Ponzinibbio to get the job done as well. Even by knockouts, +215. It's not a bad stab there. Not at all.
Yeah, just listening to his like speech after the fact and leading up to this fight, it just seems like he's going to die on his shield. So he's either get knocked. So I think it's worth the stab.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. All right, we're getting up to our co-main event of the evening in a lightweight bout between Paddy Pimblett and Jared Gordon. Right now, Paddy -250, come back on Gordon +210. Who do you got?
Yep, Pimblett, you know, he has to avenge Fishgold's loss, right? I mean, I love Paddy as much as the next guy, but this, you know, we can't argue. This is a huge, huge step up in competition. Gordon is crafty, and he has a hell of a gas tank, especially lately. But considering, you know, Pimblett's team has been here before, and Paddy does have the reach advantage, you know, and let's not forget, Paddy is good on the ground. You know, I do think he does find the knockout finish. Both guys are skilled, and anything can happen, but I'm going to side with the cash cow on this one. I think the cash cow does lose eventually, but this is not the fight. If the line climbs a little more, I may have to take a stab on Gordon just out of principle and hope for the best. But if for some reason this makes it to the scorecards, I'd assume the judges would want to avoid any altercations in the Vegas parking lot and side with Patty. I like Patty Pimblett by KO.
Yeah, I've been on the fence with this one. I don't think we can play Patty at -250. It's going to be a sweat. You know, yeah. It's definitely his toughest opposition yet. We can't forget this man. I know he's at 145, lost to Soren Bock and Nad Nirmani. Okay. Yep. Both guys not better than Jared Gordon. All right. Also, Patty lost a round to Jordan Levitt. You don't lose a round to Jordan Levitt if you think you are an elite fighter. I don't think Patty is an elite fighter. He's an entertaining fighter. He's a charismatic fighter. He can talk. You know, he's a fun fighter. He's a fan-friendly fighter. He's not elite. He's not a top 10 fighter. He's not a title aspirations fighter. He's not. He's got many, many holes in his game that the elite of the elite will be able to exploit. Whether or not Jared Gordon is that person to exploit is we'll see if that's the case. I know Gordon is super tough, super durable. He's very well-rounded. He can grind you out on the mat like he did against Joe Selecki. He can beat you on the feet like he did in his last fight. So he's gonna come forward. He's gonna push a pace, and he's gonna make Patty work for this win. I think it's gonna be a close fight. I think it's gonna go to judges' scorecards. I don't expect Pimblett to lose the judges' scorecards, but you never know. Gordon, normally if he loses, it's by finish. You know, he's been finished in each of his losses. We'll see what happens, but ultimately, and like you said, if this hits -300 on Pimblett, I will take a shot on Gordon. Like I said, out of principle, this is a fight where we have to play the numbers here. I will take a shot of fading Patty against his toughest opposition if this creeps up to like +250, where I think it's going to end up.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Gordon is like you said, if he does lose, he does usually get finished.
Right.
The guy does go out on his shield. He wants the win. He has a great story. He has a great voice as well. And he wants to fight. You know what? Patty can't get in his head because, you know, he's heard it all before. What are you going to say about the guy? You know, even his own mom says horrible shit about him because, you know, Gordon has had a tough life, but he's trying to make right. And he's also a great fighter. So I'm very excited for this fight. A lot of questions will be answered. You know, it'll be fun.
All right. We're up to our main event. The light heavyweight championship is on the line. Jan Blachowicz looking to be a 2-time champion, taking on Magomed Ankalaev. Right now, Ankalaev -285 to come back on Blachowicz +240. Who do you got?
I'm here. Are you here?
Oh, no, I heard. You didn't hear me? Well, I announced it. I'm asking, who do you got? Let's put it that way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you for a moment. All right, so this fight, I'm getting tired. So, and I know you guys are too. But this is going to be a great fight as well. But it's going to go one of two ways. Either Blachowicz finds the KO, or Ankalaev wins by decision. I saw a lot of chatter about Ankalaev finding the sub. Dude has no sub wins, so don't bet that. I've been doing this long enough to know that if there are two possible outcomes, side with the guy whose name ends with the letter V. You know, Rakic looks good until the leg injury, and a 43-year-old man handled Blachowicz with ease. Ankalaev has been on a tear since losing to Craig, and if he sticks to the game plan, which I think he does, he will find the belt and the decision win. Takedown, pressure, win. repeat, win, avoid Paul Craig, and Ankalaev by decision.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very confident Ankalaev is now the next champion, and then this division now runs to him like pretty much knew that it would. I mean, it was the inevitable for Ankalaev to finally get this title shot. We know what he does well. He's able to keep his range very well. He's a very good striker. He looked very good in battering Anthony Smith in his last fight, finally getting a knockout and not a decision. But I feel like he's going to play it smart here, utilize some grappling, stay at distance, keep out of the Polish power, as people would like to call it, of Jan Blachowicz. But even that, I don't expect Blachowicz to get a knockout. I mean, he's only got 3 knockouts in the last, 8 years? 3. And they're calling this Polish power. I don't know what Polish power that people are talking about, but this guy's got 3 knockouts in the last 8 years. And all 3 knockouts were against guys with 0 chins. So,
yeah,
I don't think that power's going to really come into play here. It's going to be a very technical striking bout between these two. A lot of kicking, a lot of jabs, maybe some clinch work, but ultimately I got Ankalaev just being that much better and getting a unanimous decision win. I think he's like plus 240 to win by decision as well. So yeah, I got Ankalaev getting the job done.
We made it.
Forrest Daniels is saying, put it on record. I'm going to put it up there for you. Put it on record that I'm picking Jan by third round knockout. Polish power could return here.
I'll bet you.
He's like, I'll bet you. Just slide in those DMs.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right, guys. That's what we got for you for this week's breakdown here on the Playmaker Podcast Network. Thank you for Jimmy Flick for joining us, letting us know about his new fight coming up, and giving us Flick's picks. Go check him out on all of his social platforms. Go get some of his merch when it drops again. Guys, please head over to Playmaker on all social platforms. Give them a follow. They have great content pumped out, giving you some great betting knowledge over at Playmaker Bet as well. And also go to Prize Picks. Go to Prize Picks, sign up using Props Live as a promo code for 100% deposit up to $100. With that said, we will see you guys next time. We'll be back next week, same time. As always, we're out of here. Adios. Thank you guys for staying with us throughout this entire time. Adios.